Welcome to the podcast of Story Story Night. Story Story Night is a live storytelling program in Boise, Idaho, inspired by the moth. More information can be found at storystorynight.org. Both of today's stories were recorded at the live event on the 19th of July, 2010, at the Linen Building. The theme of the event was On the Road, Stories of Travel. Today's first story is by Alejandro Anastasio. Alejandro recounts experiences while traveling through Idaho on his way from Seattle to Chicago. Alejandro recounts experiences he had while traveling through Idaho on his way from Seattle to Chicago.
How's everyone tonight? Good, good. You know, I want to thank everyone for coming out because I can stand up here and speak, but without you guys, it doesn't work as well. So could you give yourself a round of applause? All right, good job. This session is about traveling, and I'm going to be telling just a couple quick stories about my travels as a human. And the flyer is really interesting. I brought this up. I don't know if you saw it, but it's the van that almost killed a deer. Right, so that's one of my experiences that I'll tell you about. I have a little short story before I talk about bigger story. And then one of the great things about me traveling as well, as you can see, I don't have two hands. Right, yeah, don't freak out. I actually enjoy it. It's a blessing. I get 50% off all manicures. Right? Okay, good, live crowd, I like that. All right, I'll tell you some more benefits later. Maybe that's a different story. But it does make traveling unique. And then you need to know that I drive an automatic car, like a manual. No, a manual, right? So I have to shift gears. So most of the time, I have no hands on the wheel. Right? And then when I signal, it looks really funny. Great. End up causing more accidents than getting out of them. But I just got back from a 20-day vacation tour, speaking tour. So I did some speaking down in Oregon. And then I did a one-handed talk at a monastery just outside of Vineta. My Dharma teacher lives there. And I'm driving this backcountry road. It's very windy. It's one of those great moments. And then I turn this corner at a high rate of speed because I'm, well, in a hurry to see my Buddhist monk. Like, that makes any sense, right? So, I take this turn. And what is in the middle of the road? Bambi. Right? I mean, this deer, this doe was so cute. Big puffy tail, all poofy, just totally adorable. I can't, right? And it froze, right? And then I have all this gear, right? If I slam on the brakes, I'm going to die. If I turn really hard, I'm going to die. If I keep going, it's going to die. Just one of those great moments, right? Traveling moments, sweet. And I don't have two hands, so I'm just like, phenomenal, right? So I start to overtake the animal, right? It starts to run. I'm starting to overtake it. It's one of those great moments. I actually feel like an animal. Right, because I'm about to overtake this little animal. And then it goes under my car, and I almost start crying. I hit my brakes a little more. I thought it was dead, and then it sprung out. Right, like I'm alive. Oh. It was great. It pranced around a little bit. I had the window down. I was screaming. I was like, yeah! Yeah, I was like, whew. Yeah, I don't need to tell my monk that I killed a doe on the way to see him. Right? Sweet. So everything worked out, which is usually the case. With traveling without two hands, it can be kind of funny, packing, right, undoing gear, things of that nature. Once I rode my bicycle. I traveled by bicycle from Seattle to Chicago. You guys want to know the... I need a hand. Give it up. Right. Okay. Now, I want to share with you guys the hardest thing about traveling across the country on your bicycle without two hands. This is good to know. My butt hurt a lot. Yeah, so it really doesn't have anything to do with this. If you can sit on a bicycle seat for 10 hours a day, you'll be fine. You can 8 miles an hour your way across the country, right? Growing up not having two hands, I really wanted to kind of challenge myself, and I've always wanted to do a long trip like that. I think a lot of people dream about things like that. And then whatever it is that stops you, you got to let that go. I don't have two hands. I didn't even think about it once. I just went. So packed up all my gear and took off. And I spent, I think the longest amount of time that I spent anywhere was in the state of Idaho, interestingly enough. Yeah, so I traveled all the way to Spokane, and then I came down into Pullman-Lewiston and then came down into Boise. I spent about 8 days in Boise. At that time, I was living in Seattle, and I didn't really know where I was going to live when I got back to Seattle. And then I spent some time here. I really enjoyed it. I thought the river was really cool. Didn't really think too much about it because I'm traveling, right? And then I'm leaving here. I'm going to Sun Valley. So I'm now I'm about at the junction of 70 and 25. Okay, you guys all know where that's at? Sure. And this lady rolls down her window. She's screaming at me, right? You need to get off the road. There's a big storm coming. Right? I live in Seattle. I have no idea what she's talking about. I'm like, yeah, whatever. So I just keep biking. Right? And then all of a sudden, it starts to snow. Right? It's June. I think it was June 17th. Right? Oh. Great. Yeah. She's like, you need to go to this rest stop. It's the only thing I could see was this little rest stop at the corner of 70 and 20. So I pull in there, and then it starts to snow, hail. I mean, it was just obscene, right? And all I have is a bicycle and all my gear. I don't have anywhere to sleep. So it's me and two guys on a bicycle and some guy hitchhiking. We're all hanging out in the men's bathroom. Which did not smell good, right? Hovering around the heating duct, the little hand thing we're heating, we're sharing like candy bars, that kind of thing. I'm the only one hanging out for hours because I don't have anywhere to go. And I don't want to pack in the snow. I'm not prepared for that. Yeah, that was a really odd experience. And then people start coming in and out. And then they're looking at me. I'm hanging out in the bathroom, right? They're like, oh, Idaho, so she. They got a little bathroom boy, right? Great. Yeah, tips sucked. But after about 7 hours of hanging out in there, and a couple times I had to leave because it smelled bad, this guy asked me a lot of people asked me if I needed help. And then this one guy asked me if I needed help, and I could tell, if you travel a lot, I looked right at him, and I knew if I got in his car, I wasn't going to get out. Right? I was like, no, I think I'll be fine. Right? And then this other guy showed up, he kind of like a 50-year-old jock hat. He teaches sports something at some high school down in L.A. He says he comes up here to fish, right? And he's like, you look like you need help. So he put me up in his camper overnight, gave me ice cream and soup, and it was really kind. And then the next day I got up, and he gave me breakfast, kind of pushed me on my way. And I thought it was really cool. And then 2 days later, well, there was no more snow. I was hitchhiking. Something was going on. I don't know what was going on, but I needed a ride, and this guy picked me up, and he lives in Prairie, Idaho. Do you guys know anything about Prairie? Yeah. Thank you. Okay, she's laughing because she knows. I have very little experience at that time with people that live like that, right? Because I lived in Seattle at the time. You know, this guy picked me up, and he's like, well, you look like you need help. He's like, I'll take you to where I'm going, and then you can keep biking. And then he tells me a little bit about his life, that he lives with no electricity, no power, this kind of thing, and how it is to be an individual in Idaho, right? And I'm thinking, yeah, this guy's kind of peanuts, right? I'm from Seattle, just keep driving. He had these blue eyes. They were so piercing. And then at one moment, you know, it's really interesting because how people ask me why I look like this says a lot about them, right? And this guy just leaned over and he said, hey, kid, how'd you ding your wing? I knew I was in for a treat. Yeah, so we started, you know, going down the road. And he didn't really ask me a lot of questions, but then he looked over at me, and he said, he's like, hey, kid, do you know what freedom is? And I didn't say much. I just kept my head down. I was like, I can't believe this guy's asking me this question. And then he asked me again. He's like, I'm serious. Do you know what freedom is? And I said, I don't think so. He's like, good, I can tell. Yeah. Yeah, he said, freedom is in direct relation to responsibility. He's like, the more you get to 100% responsible for everything that you are and do, the closer you get to being totally free. Right? Yeah, I almost started crying. Because I was running, right? Yeah, in my life at that time, I was running. Right? That's why he's telling me this thing. You know, and the next thing I know, we get to this spot, and he just picks up this bike, it's full of gear, and throws it off to the side. He must have weighed 102 pounds, totally wiry and sinewy. Could tell he worked hard his whole life. And then he gave me a little nugget, right? And he's like, yeah, I wanted to help you out, kid. You look like good people, which is another word, a phrase I've never heard of until I moved to Idaho. All right, so great. I met this guy, and then keep going. Right? And then I met a friend of mine outside of Swan Valley, my friend Stacy Nolan. He's a very good friend of mine. And we started driving around Yellowstone. And Stacy and I, we've spent a lot of time in the backcountry, built a lot of bridges, taken inner city kids into the backcountry. If you got hurt in the backcountry and you were with me, I could save your life. Yeah, I know a few things. Which is kind of funny because Stacy and I are driving down the road and we just happen to look over at the river, which is really popular in Idaho, right? Water, right? And what do we see? We see a raft upside down going down the river, okay? And then about 2 seconds later, we see this guy running after it, right? So I look over at Stacy. I'm like, yeah, this is not good, right? So we pull over and we start running, and then we see two guys in scuba suits walking on the road, all right? So we pull over to these guys. We're like, hey, what's going on? And these guys are all like, we don't really know what's going on. We're looking for our friend. So we know there's a little bit of trouble, right? So we catch up with the guy that's running. We find this guy's raft, right? We pull the raft up. It's pulling a cooler. This is a great story. It's pulling a cooler, right? The raft is upside down, pulling a cooler. We open up the cooler. What's in the cooler?
Beer.
Empty beer, right? Empty beer, right? So we know, okay, we got two guys in scuba suits and two guys missing, right? So we find one of the guys. We grab the guys in the scuba suit. Stacy goes with the other guy. I take one guy. We go back to his friend. He's like, yeah, we have to find our friend. I was like, well, where is your friend? Oh, we left him over there, right? This guy's totally disorientated. So we go to where his friend is at, and his friend is wearing blue jeans. Bad sign, right? But he had this belt buckle. Man, it was like, it's hard to show without two hands, but it was like, yeah, it's the biggest thing I'd ever seen on human life, right? He was coughing so hard, spitting up like water out of his lungs. And then his friend in the scuba suit, who was almost fine, hit him. He's like, hey, you ride bulls. Let's go back into the water, right? And this guy looks up, and he's spitting up like just water is coming out of his mouth. He had death in his eye. He's like, no! Scary moment. Yeah, his lips were all hypothermic. I mean, the guy could barely even talk. He was going to die, right? And his two friends bolted, right? It's just a really bad moment. So we get these guys back. We get this guy. I have to take this guy. I have to take his clothes off, lift him off the ground, hug him, and get my sleeping bag, that whole gig. And then finally, some other people show up, like somebody called some kind of help. So now this guy shows up, and he wants to help so bad he's frantic. Right, you guys ever experienced that? He's just shaking. He's like, who needs help? Do you need help? I'll help you. I was like, no, I was here first. Everything's fine. Right, this guy needs help, right? So he asked me again. He's like, oh, do you need help? We went through this four times. Right? I was like, no, I was the first one here. This guy needs help. You got to take care of him. So Stacy came back with the other guy. Everything ended up working out really good. Right? And it's really kind of funny because these two guys in the scuba suits, we told them, we're like, hey, if you're going to go into the backcountry on water and risk life, you should at least be wearing the right clothes and know a little bit about first aid. Right? And I was like, no beer. Just a little bit of beer. And it was really interesting because, like I said, these guys are so different than Stacy and I. We live in the city. I mean, these guys grew up in Swan Valley kind of thing. And they just leaned over to us. And they're like, you know, you guys are good people. And I was like, Idaho. All right, I think I'm going to come back here. So it was a really good trip. I mean, I could tell stories for hours about every day, 67 days it took me to cross. And I camped out every night, and special things happen all the time when you travel. So don't think you need, like, two hands to do anything, and certainly not travel. You can get in a car, you can drive, and do those kind of things. And so before I let you go, if you can, good round of applause, because I need a hand. All right?
Today's Story Slammer is Kate Riley. Kate tells of being mistaken for Patty Hearst and being tailed by the police in Santa Barbara, California in 1974.
Oh my God, I don't believe I'm doing this. I don't know those two women back there that put that my name in there, but anyway, all because I said, yeah, I kind of have a good story. Okay, so 1974, if I don't look at you, it's better. Sorry. Don't take it personally. 1974, Santa Barbara, California. Woohoo! And my girlfriend and I decide we're going to take a day trip to the beach, south of Santa Barbara. So we pack everything up, the cooler, the, you know, radio, beach chairs, everything. Roll a joint, borrow my dad's car, little 71 yellow Volkswagen Bug, and we head out. So we are driving, and I decide that I want to see if Baskin-Robbins is open first. So we pull off on the frontage road in Montecito. I cannot believe I'm doing this. In Montecito, and there's this really large crowd of people off to the side of the road. And so my friend is saying, pull over, pull over. And she's pretty hardcore and, you know, smokes real hard. And so I pull over, and she beelines it through this huge crowd, and I'm kind of like following behind her, not knowing what's going on. I really don't care. That's the whole thing. I want to get to the beach. And who is it? Help me out here. Symbionese Army people back then? SLA, thank you. Well, some of their members are being detained on the side of the road. So my friend says, we got to get out of here. And what I don't know is a group of people right next to us, or a few people, said, there goes Patty Hearst, pointing at me. So I don't know that any of this is happening. So I go back over to my dad's car, and I get in the car, and we drive by Baskin-Robbins' clothes. We'll go by on the way home, right? So we start heading out, and I'm on the frontage road, which I'm shaking so bad, sorry, which is two lanes. And I look in the rearview mirror of my car, and there are, in two lanes, four police cars lined up, no sirens, all lights, so like they're going to surprise me. And I don't know how many behind them. It's like every, you know, Boise police, Santa Barbara sheriff is like way over the top, okay? Yeah, double. So I decide to pull off in my friend's estate. I know all these little estates because that's where you go and you smoke pot in high school. So I'm in Montecito, and I pull off the side of the road, and I'm absolutely frozen in this little Volkswagen Bug, and we're totally surrounded, and cops are getting out, and they have guns pulled. And Allison puts the window down, and she's demanding to know what's going on, and I'm just like 10 and 2 position, absolutely frozen, and I said, get the joint out of the glove compartment, because that's all I'm thinking. Oh, because I don't know what's happened back on Coast Village Road. So I said, get the joint out of the glove compartment and eat it. And so I'm so absolutely frozen, and all of a sudden these cops, they're yelling at us to get out of the car. Oh, God. So I start to get out of the car, and my friend pulls me back in the car, and she says, do not get out of the car until they tell us what's happening. And I said, get out of the car. And so she's pulling me back in the car. I said, get out of the fucking car. I got to get out of my car right now. So I get out. They've instructed me to put my hands on top of my head. So I do. And then they said, get on your knees. So I get on my knees. And then they tell me to lie down. Well, I don't want to take my hands off my head. But so I go flying over on the pavement. I'm going to get bullet ridden, my whole body. And so I'm sideways looking in the car, and the car door is open, and my friend is going, get back in the car. And I'm going, get out of my car. And this is true. I had just watched a week before with my other girlfriend, Bonnie and Clyde. So seriously, all that's going through my mind is my dad's car is going to get just fired upon. I'm going to die. And all I'm thinking is it's that joint that's in the glove compartment. That's all I know that's happening. So anyway, long story short, they let us off and tell us what happened, and they apologized. And somehow I got home. We didn't go to the beach. I was a total disaster and went on home to return the car to my dad. So anyway, that's my story.
The Story Story Night podcast is produced by Boise State Public Radio. Pledge your support at radio.boisestate.edu. Story Story Night is a monthly, live storytelling program created and presented by Alley Repertory Theater, the Boise State University Story Initiative, and The Cabin. Story Story Night is inspired by The Moth. Music for Story Story Night is by Dan Costello. You can hear more of his music at hearcostello.com. Thank you for listening.